Today, I want to talk about the value of the soul, but we'll just have a word of prayer. Dear Father in Heaven, we're so thankful we can talk about this topic which is so close to your heart. We know that every one of us is so important in your plan of salvation and redemption. Not only us, but the whole world. Pray that you please help us to understand more, to sacrifice more, to give others a chance to know your salvation and the plan you have for their lives. Please be with us now as we talk about this topic. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. There was a program on every Friday night. It was called The Master Stroke. I don't know if you've seen it, but it was it's about this guy that was Neil Schofield. He was talking about paintings and putting the spiritual application to the paintings. And this sermon actually is sort of like a fling off of what he said. And I thought what he said was so good that I wanted to present it. And it's talking about the value of the soul. And I think in today's society, we have largely taken for granted the value of the human soul. You know, in our Western society, in fact, the whole world has lost the value of how much a person is worth. We value people on many different things, the way they look, the way they dress, the jobs they have, the success that they have. These are all values that we place on people. But God doesn't place such values on us. He places infinite value on us. These are all worldly standards of placing some sort of merit on ourselves. And so today we want to have a look at the gospel message and how in the beginning Satan actually deceived Eve into taking the bait, thinking that there was some sort of value that she could add to herself. Have a look on the website at the value of how much we're worth materially, you know, like if we talk about chemical compounds, carbon, all this sort of thing. And the estimate was roughly about $160. All right, so this is just some of the statistics. That's sort of like a brief overview of what I want to talk about. $160 to $1,985.77. If we were broken down into, you know, chemical compounds, that's probably how much we would get. So in our world, that the value of the human has been very exploited, and so we, you know, on the news often we see the exploitation of people. So it's estimated that global profits from forced human labour comes to about $43 billion. 31.6 billion from trafficked victims. Okay, like the largest profit, $15 billion, is accrued as a result of people being forced to work in industrial countries. And trafficking exists because there is a demand for cheap labour. So people are exploited without regard to their true value. They're exploited because of what people can make from them. And they don't care about, in many cases, they don't care about the individual themselves. They just look past the value of that person to what sort of gain they can get. And we see this sort of thing going on all the time. I mean, if you have a look at, like, some of these drug wars that are going over in Mexico, South America, right, where these gang lords will go out and execute people for monetary reasons. You know, just snuff someone's life out for just money only. It's hard to fathom, really, isn't it? Like, you know, if we really take a look at what God values, puts value on us. And if we move to the Western countries, like we're in over there in Iraq at the moment, Afghanistan, and the cost of war over there is escalating. You know, it's a large amount of money. So the cost over there is not only monetary, it's also loss of people lives. 350,000 people have died due to direct violence. And indirect violence has claimed about 6.7 million. So indirect means that through the disruption of infrastructure, clean water, food, housing, that sort of thing, which leads to infections, which also leads to, you know, the loss of human life, adults, children, so many people are lost because of war. So we've put a huge amount of money into that, and we've largely lost sight, or maybe not lost sight, but not thought about, you know, the cost. And not only from the Western point, I mean, we're also talking about ISIS, you know, the IS, the Islamic State too. I mean, you know, what they're doing also, they have lost sight of the value of a human life. You know, killing someone just for the sake of revenge or to prove a point. Humans are worth a lot of money, you know, in God's sight. So what I want to talk about is in this sermon is what makes a human so valuable. And it's not the values that we place on people. It's not like the clothes we wear or what the job we have. That's not what makes us valuable. And can't give us value in our own eyes either. Because you see a lot of these movie stars or these famous people, right? They're not generally happy people. I was watching testimony of Doug Batchelor last night, and also I've seen it before anyway, and one of his comments was that money and fame does not make people happy. And neither did it give him a happy childhood either, because his value was largely displaced to give way to, you know, fame and success. So the main points that I want to mention today is what makes us valuable, and that is the Creator. Okay, so he's the one that makes us valuable. The one that makes something is what makes it valuable. For example, Mercedes-Benz is not made by Holden, it's made by Mercedes-Benz. So Mercedes-Benz, that's what makes that car valuable. All right. So the Creator. And the second point is the owner who owns it also makes us think an item valuable. And then also the buyer, and also the uniqueness of the item makes it valuable. So in the Bible, right in the beginning, in Genesis, we are told, and we're very familiar with it, that God said that he would make man in his own image, in the likeness of God, he created us. That adds value to the human person, isn't it? Being created in the image of God, the creator of the universe. And so that's why God is so upset when he sees the image being defaced, being defiled. And one of the reasons why the antediluvian world was destroyed was because violence was abundant. The image of God was being defaced, and the human being, the value of the human had become worthless, that, you know, they were getting killed, and God had to stop it, stop the whole big drama by a flood. God not only created us, but he breathed into us the breath of life. So it was a very intimate and a very close relationship that he had with the human race. With the other animals, he called them forth from the ground. Okay, but the humans he created with his own hands, and he breathed into their nostrils the breath of life. You could say that we were handmade. Okay? A handmade item is a lot different than a production line produced item, isn't it? So we were handmade by God, which makes us very special in his eyes. God also placed restrictions on us because he cared for us. So like today we're talking about the law of liberty. I mean, the restrictions, they're not restrictions really, but the laws that he gave us are for our happiness because he values us. He puts a protective wall around us. And that's really why he gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden the restriction of the tree of the knowledge and good and evil. They weren't to touch it. And God said that they weren't to touch it or they would die. So there are reasons for that restriction. We protect the things we value, don't we? It's natural. And same with God. He wanted to protect the human race. It was more than just a test. It was because he loved us that he gave us that restriction to Adam and Eve. In Psalms it says that for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. And that's from Psalms 84:11. However, Satan tried to convince Eve that her value was not based on what God had done for her or was doing, but what she could do for herself. And so he deceived Eve into wanting something more than what God had given her. And if we have a look in the world today, that's really what man is up to, really, isn't he? In the majority of cases, we're wanting something that we haven't been given. We haven't been born with. I mean, when we talk about homosexuality, you know, in most cases, you know, they weren't born with those inclinations as something that they've chosen. They want something else. I mean, you know, and it goes to all sorts of things that the human race are into at the moment. So we fall into the trap of thinking that what we do, who we are, how much we make, really makes us valuable in the sight of God, which is really untrue, isn't it? Some of these famous people, like Mariah Carey, so she's insured her legs for $1 billion. $1 billion. America Ferreira insured her smile for $10 million. Okay, so these are just examples of how much people insure themselves for. They think that those parts are worth a lot of money. If they lose them, then they've lost their income. Their parts are greater than the sum of their whole. So it's really foolish when you think of it. I mean, to place, you know, great value on some parts of our body or even our whole place. They've forgotten to insure the most valuable part of themselves. Which was that? The human soul. That's the most valuable part of all that we are. It's not our outward appearance. No, it's not what we are, who we wear, or what we wear, those sorts of things, but it's the human soul. In the end, when we die, we're going to be a pile of decomposing chemicals. Like Adam was given you could say it was a promise, or it was just the truth that he was to return to the ground from whence he was taken. So without God in the soul, we are just that. We are just a pile of decomposing chemicals. Without God in our life, if we believe in evolution, that's all we are. We're just that, because we will never be again. Once we die, that'll be it. And this is why people try to add value to the soul, because many people see the soul as mortal. I mean, when I say that, I mean we're going to die. I don't mean that we have an immortal soul, but I mean that we just got this life, and then that's it. John says very plainly, and this is one of the texts that was brought up today, that love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, because if we love the things of the world, then the love of the Father is not in us. And some of the things of the world are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. These are not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. So if we place value on ourselves by the things of the world, then we will pass away with the world. And then we won't get eternal life, really, if we are trying to add value to ourselves. Because really, when we've got Christ in the heart, there's no need to add value. It's already invaluable. After Adam and Eve fell into sin, they tried to make their value by putting clothes, fig leaves, tried to cover themselves up, their shame. Okay, but it didn't last for long because the eyes of them were both opened and they knew that they were naked. They knew they had a need. Whenever we try to cover ourselves up, whenever we try to add value to ourselves with what we do or who we are, we can never find true happiness. And we can see that again and again and again, you know, like in many famous people. They should be happy. They have it all, according to what, you know, what we would classify in worldly standards, money, fame. But no, it doesn't bring happiness. And the majority of the world is trying actually to maybe follow in their suit by, you know, what they wear. And so there's many billions and billions spent on clothing, you know, designer clothing. I think just some of them, like Fendi is one brand, 800 million, Guess, 1.2 billion, Valentino, the list goes on. You know, it's in the billions that people are spending on making themselves more attractive. It's a lot of money, really. And this is why, you know, the Bible gives us a very practical example in Peter. So Peter is saying that who's adorning, let it not be the outward adorning like plaiting of hair and wearing of gold, but putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God is of great price. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection to their husbands. And that's from 1 Peter 3:4-5. And it's not only applying to women either, it's applying to men also. Let not the adorning, you know, be. And the reason is because those things add no value to the soul. What Christ and what God is really interested in is the soul, the value that's in the soul, and those things are just an outer covering, really. Another thing that makes us very valuable is the buyer, who's willing to pay for something. If no one's willing to pay a price for an item, if it can't be sold, then the value will go down. So with Adam and Eve, not only were they made in the image of God, but when they fell, there was someone that was willing to pay an infinite price for their redemption. And we know that one was Jesus. He was willing to pay that price, which makes them and which makes us very valuable in God's sight. And in Galatians 4:4, it says that, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And in 1 Peter, it also goes on to say that we were not redeemed by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as without spot, without blemish, and without spot. Very valuable, the human soul, isn't it? Not only were we made in the image of the Creator, but we were purchased, we were redeemed by the Son of God. This is such a contrast in what we see today, isn't it? Really, I mean, men think that they can add value to their lives by killing others. When we have a look at the life of Christ, he did not kill, he did not fight to kill, but he died to save. Men fight to kill something they think is worth so little, but Jesus died to save what was worth so much. Jesus knew the value of the soul, and that's why he came to die for us. Another thing that places an infinite value is the owner. who owns the item. Not only did God create us, not only did He redeem us, He owns us. We are His. And this is what it says in Isaiah, where it says in Isaiah 43:1. Okay, and this is what it says. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. God's happy to call us His children. And we know that the master thief, Satan, tried to steal us away from Him, and he gave his life to redeem us back. Items that have no value are thrown away. And this is what will happen in the last judgment. Items of no value will be thrown away. It's just when we're fossicking or we're collecting minerals. It's the inner content, really, that's really worth it. If there's nothing in there, then it will be tossed away. And it's the same with God. In the judgment, if we have not embellished the soul with Christ, we will be discarded as rubble, as chaff. Like if we spend our time, if we adorn ourselves with outward things, if we place all the emphasis on that, not the inner soul, then obviously in the end, there will be no worth there. For God, the main emphasis is on the soul. He wants us to have health, of course. That's why He gave us the health message. But still, we will die. Probably. Okay, we're not saying, I don't know how long before God comes back or for the second coming, but if that is, you know, extended, that period, then we will die. God's concerned about the value that is in the heart. Eternal life is more important to Him than temporal life. And if we have a look at the paradigm, most of the people who place the value on the outer covering are only concerned with temporal life, not the eternal values. Right? So there's a shift. You know, if we want to be saved, there needs to be a shift, really, from the outward to the inner. Okay, and we know that that can only be done through Christ. In fact, Jesus, He said that, in Matthew, He said, fear not them that are able to destroy the body, but fear Him that is able to kill the soul. I'll quote it better. Fear not them which are able to kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both the body and soul in hell. And then it goes on and points out that God regards even two sparrows. How much more value are we in His sight? The human being is also unique. Not only were we created in the image of God, redeemed, and He owns us, but we are also a unique creation. It's just like snowflake. Every one of us is unique. And God will retain that uniqueness. In fact, he doesn't get rid of that uniqueness. He works with us to bring out that uniqueness in us. And in the first resurrection, when the people are resurrected, it will be not with this body we have, it will be a glorified body, but the uniqueness that we have here will be retained. And that's not just our uniqueness, that's the combination of Christ in us. Okay, so this is our innermost soul embellished by God's Spirit. Okay, so it doesn't take away our uniqueness, it embellishes it, it adds to it. Why would we embellish the outer when the inner is what makes us unique in the sight of God? It's knowing God, working on those inner graces. This is really what makes us really special. And Paul in Ephesians 2:8-9 says this. He says, for by grace we are saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk therein. Paul also goes on further to talk about this in Colossians 1:26 and 27, where he says that even the mystery which hath hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is what makes us valuable. It's Christ within the soul, embellishing it, shining it, you know, like someone would get a mineral from a rock, and then through the fire of affliction that, you know, Christ wants to give us in Revelation, he brings out that inner luster, that glory. Not that we have it ourselves, but, you know, we're in us. That's what the value is. It's not the body that's valuable, it's the soul. That's the valuable part. And the soul is made valuable by what is contained in it. If Christ is within, then the soul is priceless. However, if Christ is not there, then it's rubble. It's not good for anything. And this is the goal that we're encouraged to buy in Revelation 18, when God encouraged us to buy that gold that is refined in the fire. He wants us to have that inner luster, that connection with Christ. So our uniqueness is not determined by the brand of clothing that we wear, but by the combination of gold, that connection with God in our souls. And this is what makes the human of true value and precious in the sight of God. When the soul is joined to Christ, he is part of us and we are of him. This is the mystery of godliness which was manifested in Christ's union with mankind. So when we talk about God, man, right, this is what God wants to do with us. He wants that unit, that union there with us also. And this is what Paul is talking about in Galatians 2:20 when it says that I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless it is not I that lives, but Christ lives in me, and the life that I now live, I live through faith in the Son of God who lived and died, and gave himself for me. So I think many times as a human race we're selling ourselves short. We're trying to add value to ourselves by what we wear, you know, fame, fortune. It just is all very vain and worthless, actually. And in the sight of God, he's, I don't know what he thinks, but he's probably so discouraged. Not that God gets discouraged, but I mean, you know, looking at the way we devalue ourselves and the way we treat each other as a human race, it's just so sad. By pursuing the things of the world, we devalue ourselves, and these things will soon pass away. Jesus told of a story of the rich farmer, and I think we're probably well familiar with this story, where this farmer thought, well, you know, I want to build bigger barns. I want to store up for myself, you know, prepare for my retirement. So he built bigger barns. He bought new produce in, so he wouldn't have to, you know, have a hard time in the future. And what was God's response to him? He said, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." He was trying to, you know, add some dimension to his life by stability, by preparing for a retirement. Not that I'm saying that's the wrong thing to do. If we were neglecting to, you know, to embellish the inner graces, having connection with God, yes, of course, then that's the wrong thing to do. He lost sight of the value of embellishing his soul by entrusting it to his Maker. He lost sight of that. The soul is a talent that God has given us to accommodate his Spirit, and we know in Corinthians that Paul says that, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in us. So God wants to dwell in us, and it's up to us to prepare room for him to do that. So we must be willing to, like the Bible says, take up a cross and follow him. If we're not willing to do that, then there's nothing that he can do about it, because it's still up to us. It's our choice. And of course he's sad about it, but God cannot force, okay, because he loves us too much. And we know that we can only find true love. It's only when we find true love we can value that relationship. So it's a loving relationship, really, that leads us to value our own selves. I mean, you've probably heard of relationships, marriage relationships that have gone bad, and then usually one of the partners ends up with that feeling of devaluation, whether it's the man or the woman, right? And it's the same with us. I mean, it's only if we can have, only as we have a true relationship with God, that we can really find value for ourselves. We can't find that outside of him. Now, if we try to, it'll be because we'll try to make up for that by what we wear and those sorts of things. That true satisfaction can only be found in Christ. And many people in this world commit suicide because they haven't found that true value of themselves. And in Mark it says that, you know, we should love the Lord our God with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our mind, with all our strength. And this is the first commandment. And then the second is love our neighbors as ourselves. So we're talking about this today in Sabbath school, you know, going out and doing, you know, actually acting out what we know to be right, but we can't really do it unless we have that first one, can we? Loving the Lord our God. That's the number one key thing. Unless we have that, we can't place value on our own selves either. We will devalue ourselves. It's this sort of love that will enable us to make a sacrifice for God, and also it will enable us to put true value on others. Now, we will see others more than just who they are, what they wear, that sort of thing, but we will see them as they are in the sight of God, of infinite value. And this is why in Ephesians, Paul is talking about that Christ loved himself, and he gave himself for the church. In Matthew, it was also talking about another rich young ruler which came to God and to Jesus and asked what he may do to inherit eternal life. And Jesus said to him, well, you know, obey the commandments. And he said, well, I've done those things. And God said, well, you lack one thing. And then he made quite, you could say, an outrageous request from the young ruler. Well, go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. And the rich young ruler went away sorrowful. He thought value was what he had. Imagine if he had have taken up that request. He may have been in the Bible. He may have been one of the Bible writers. He may have influenced millions of people. And it's the same with us. God wants us to put a true value on ourselves so that we can help others. It's only as we surrender ourselves completely to God that we can make a difference in this world. Because this is what God needs. He needs people who are completely surrendered to him. The soul of value finds in the Savior the reason for living, and only God can add value to our soul. So really that's, in a nutshell, the message today. We are valuable by the Creator, because we are created by the Creator, being redeemed. He owns us and we are unique in his sight. And so I don't want us to ever forget that. If we're feeling depressed, down, if we feel we've failed, always remember that in the sight of God we are of infinite value. And so is our neighbour, those who God has asked us to work for. Judas sold Christ for so little, yet Christ valued Judas so much that he gave his life for him. Judas valued himself on outward display, power and wealth, and as a consequence, he committed suicide. Whereas Jesus really was showing him he was of infinite value. That's why he washed his feet. That's why he served him. He wanted him to see that, but Judas, unfortunately, did not. And we know the famous text in John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That's really what God wants for every soul on this planet. Let us just bow our heads and thank the Lord for his love for us. Dear Lord, we're so thankful that you place so much value on us and that we do not have to add any of that value by what we do or what we wear or anything or any of the principles that govern this world. We thank you so much that you sent your Son to redeem us and that you have offered us not only eternal life, but a life with you and so many things that we can't even imagine. Help us always to remember these things daily. And we pray that you please be with every one of us here. Help us to realize the true value of our souls. These things we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.